Now we're holding on Mem Bays, Umud Bays, three lines from the bottom. Now we're in the middle of discussing the question if a Nazir or Kohen, because basically the same rules apply to both of them, is already Tomei, is he getting Malkus for becoming Tomei again? So we have Rabba saying that only if one of them is Tuma and the other of them is Bia, because you have two different expressions in the pasuk. So if, for example, he was already Tomei and then he additionally walked into an Oil Mess, then he's chayev basically based on Xeris HaKosov, just for the fact that he went in even though he's already Tomei. But if he was already Tomei and then became Tomei with the same way, let's say by touching or what have you, then he wouldn't be chayev Malkus twice. Then we have Rabbi Yosef saying that no, even Tumah v'Tumah, he would be getting Malkus twice. Now we went on in the Gemara to discuss the matter of Chiburim, where you have if Reuven is touching a mess and Shimon touches Reuven, then we have a concept that as long as Reuven is in contact with the mess, then when Shimon touches him, Shimon is also going to be Tomei for 7 days and need to be sprinkled with paradrum or water and the whole 9 yards. So we were discussing, is that concept d'oraisa or d'rabbanan? On the face of it, if we're saying that we're going to give the person malchus, then that implies that it's d'oraisa, because d'rabbanan wouldn't be malchus, it would be makas malchus. But we said, on the other hand, we find that this tumah b'chiburim, there's a difference between a person who's going to be eating tumah or kodshim, where we apply that din to him, versus nazir v'oisa pesach, where we don't, because there's kores involved. Or in the case of Pesach, there's Kores. In the case of a Nazir, there's Korbanus. And again, that distinction wouldn't work if it was D'oraisa, only if it's D'rabbanan. So we ended up saying that there can be a difference between whether you have a chain of three people, Reuven touching the mess, Shimon touching Reuven, Levi touching Shimon, where then we can say that would be only D'rabbanan, versus where it's only Reuven and Shimon is touching Reuven, who's touching the mess, where then that would be D'oraisa. Throughout this whole sugya, by the way, you have that Tosfos and the Meforish have different understandings. Is all of this distinction of the various kinds of tumah b'chiburim would be valid according to Rabbah? In other words, that when Rabbah is saying that tumah b'tumah loy, he would be saying that it depends what kind of tumah, whether he's still touching the mess or whether he's not. Whereas according to the Mefarish, all of that was according to and to be exact, what it would be is the Abaya answering to defend Rabbah's position. Whereas the Meforish learns that actually it's all within Rabbi Yosef's position, that Rabbi Yosef himself is saying that there would be a difference between chiburim and not between the various kinds of chiburim.
Chiburim means
touching. Yeah. So again, in other words, you have that if Reuven is touching the mess, and then meanwhile, while he's still touching the mess, Shimon touches him, that's called tumah b'chiburim. And then we also have, as we said, you can have where Levi is touching Shimon.
All together at the same time.
Right.
And then the third one who's touching is considered all like touching the mess.
So that's the thing. So what we're saying is, in this distinction of chiburim, we're saying that Reuven is definitely tumah mess because he touched the mess, no question about that. He has 7 days tumah, the whole 9 yards. Shimon is touching him. We're saying that so far we're saying that tumah is also d'oraisa because he's touching Reuven, who is touching the mess, and therefore he becomes tumah for 7 days as well.
He's getting malchus.
And if he's a nazir, he's getting malchus. Yeah. Then you have when Levi is touching Shimon and Shimon is still touching Reuven, who is touching the mess. Then we're saying that tumah of Levi's that he's tumah for 7 days would only be d'rabbanan, and therefore we apply that only for Truma and Kodshin, but not for Nazir and Osa Pesach. If Levi is a Nazir, or if Levi is on his way to bring a Korban Pesach, we're not going to impose that din, the Rabbanan, of making him Tomei for 7 days. Instead, we'll say that he's Tomei only Tumas Erev. We'll leave him at the din d'oraisa. He's just Tomei for that 1 day he needs Tovel and he needs Head of Shemesh.
That's because of touching. It's all like touching another directly, but sort of person.
No, so that's the thing. So that's what we're saying. We're distinguishing between that. Yeah, you even have a case of the first Mishnah, and all this describes you can have a chain of four things that are, you have a person touching the mess, and a keli touching the person, and a person touching the keli or whatever. You can wind up with a chain of four people and slash things where even the last one is an avatoma and is tame for 7 days. But here we're not getting into that level of detail. The point is, in other words, that there is such a thing as tuma b'chiburin, and the point is, therefore, we can draw a distinction between whether, for example, the nazir is already touching a mess, where then there's no greater tumma that there can be by him touching another mess, even right now as he's touching the first mess. If somebody touches him, then that other person is going to be tumma for 7 days, and therefore we can argue that if now he himself touches another mess, there's no more malchus to be given for him, because he's already as maximally tummy as possible, versus where he let go of the mess, where now, after all, the difference is, now, as long as he is not touching the mess, somebody else touches him, there's only tumas erev, there's only 1 day tumma. As opposed to, if he now touches another mess, then that concept that somebody else will become tumma tumas shiva comes back, and therefore that's reason maybe to give him malchus for that second touching, i.e. he himself is already tumma, but now you have an additional degree of tumma that affects somebody else that you wouldn't have if he wasn't actually touching the mess.
And being oil does make it stronger. If you're touching them, that's the same thing.
Touching them, yeah. When we say, yeah, we're talking about actually touching. Yeah. Okay. So the Gemara says, Aval tumma v'tumma loy. So evident. Now the question is then, in this distinction, so we're saying only when there's chiburim involved, so it comes out when Rabba said, Aval tumma v'tumma loy, that Rabba said that if the nazir is tame and then he becomes tame again, and again, according to Tosfos' understanding, we're saying that Rabba is saying that fine, tumma b'chiburin versus not b'chiburin would be different. But if he's b'chiburin, then we're saying he touches another mess at the same time. Then Rabba is saying he wouldn't get malchus d'amitame v'koyin because he's already as tamei as possible. Well, the question is tumma ubir nami on the time of the koyin. The question is then, in that case, then why is Rabba saying that if he became tamei and then in addition went into an oil mess, we're saying that he would become, that he would get malchus again? After all, there also he's already as tamei as possible. So if he's carrying a mess on his shoulder and then he walks into an oil mess, he's already as tamei as he could possibly be anyway. Even the tumma b'chiburim applies. If somebody else touches him while he's carrying that mess on his shoulder, then that other person is going to be tamei tumas shiva. Is going to be tamei for 7 days.
Why not?
So you're already. Right, that's what we're saying. But in other words, the point is, in other words, again, what's the logic? We're saying that we brought in this whole matter of tumma b'chiburin to say that there can be a difference between, it's fine, once a person is tamei mess, he's as tamei as possible, but on the other hand, you can draw a distinction between, is there the maximum tumma possible that could result from him? If he's touching the mess, then yes, you already have reached the maximum. If he's not touching the mess, then you still have something higher, because you can have, when he's not touching the mess, another person touches him. He's only tummy for 1 day. If he's touching the mess, that other person is tummy for 7 days. So therefore, you want to draw that distinction. But now, why then is Rabba saying that if there's tumma ubiya, if he were already tummy and he walks into an oil mess, then he's getting a second set of malchus? Why? You have the same issue. The maximum amount of tumma that could come out of him is already done because he's touching the mess.
Even though he lets go, but
if he doesn't let go, that's what we're talking about. So that's the thing. Tosfos explains, if it was just he touched the mess and then he went into an oil mess, then Rabba is going to agree. Again, there's no chiburim over here, so yes, he's going to be getting malchus twice. Rabba himself is drawing a distinction between tumma v'tumma and tumma ubiya. So in other words, tumma v'tumma is talking about he's already holding the mess, and then he touches another mess, versus where he's touching the mess and then walks, and then while still touching it, walks into an oil mess, where Rabba is saying in the first case he doesn't get malchus, and in the second case he does. Why? Either way, he's maximally tummy. Why is going into an oil mess creating any greater tumma than you would otherwise have?
See, the second case means what? Second case?
Second case, where he's tummy and then walks into an oil mess. So the answer is Amar Rav Yochanan. And again, no, the Mefarish will learn the question differently, because according to him, the distinction is within Rav Yosef's opinion. So he's going to say, then in what case is Rabba saying that tumma and bia, a person gets malchus twice? If there's no chiburim, then either way he should be getting double malchus. And if it's talking about the chiburim, then again, there's no greater tumma. Anyway, So Amar Rabbi Yochanan, kan ba bayis, kan ba soda. So Rabbi Yochanan answers, there could be a difference between going into a house where there's a mess, where then, so where then, as soon as he walks in, he's becoming tamei because he goes in there. So then he's getting two malchus. Number one, because at the same moment he became tamei and he went in, and therefore he was over on both the mitzvahs and the Torah. He was over on lo yitama and he was over on lo yavi. So in other words, it's similar to the way, for example, the same way as you could have, let's say, a person eats certain kinds of shrotzim, he can be getting multiple malchus because he's over on multiple isurim simultaneously. This is called Issa Basachas. You have many examples like that. You have throughout Shas where a person does one action and he's chayav for multiple shemus. So fine, here you're talking about the Nazir was Tahar in the first place, went into the oil on mess. Now, at the same moment, he's over on Lo Yavah and he's also over on Lo Yitama. Therefore, Rabbah would be saying he's getting double malchus. Can the Sada, where's the other, you say something?
What is it called when there's
it's called
Issa several of...
It's called Isur Basachas, where the two Isurim
Isur Basachas.
Basachas means at the same time. Isur Basachas. Yeah.
So let's have warnings in between.
Well, fine. They'd have to be giving him Asura for both of them. Fine. They'd have to be telling him, don't go into that house. If you do, you're going to be over on Lo Yovah and Lo Yitama. And he says, I don't care and I'm going in there anyway. Fine, of course. Okay. So can be soda, as opposed to the other one is talking about where it's in a field, in other words, there's no roof. So he's not going into an oil or mess. So now that would be what we're saying. There's no way for him to be chayav two malchus at the same time. If he touches two mesim of asachas, then it's all one hasra, because the hasra is that telling him don't become tummy mess. And fine, he touches one with his right hand, one with the left hand, but it's still the same tumah. If you're talking about that he's carrying a mess and they told him, and then somebody else is about to hand him another mess and they warn him, don't touch that other mess, mechola v'omid. He's already mechola because he's already carrying the one mess and you have a maximum tumah. So therefore you have no greater tumah from the second one. Again, the Mefarish is going to understand, according to his shita, that the distinction between Chiburin and Shaloi Chiburin is, according to Rabbah, that Kanvasada would mean, in other words, that he touches a mess in the field and then goes into an oil mess, and then at that point he's already Tomei, and then therefore he can't become more Tomei. Tosfos says on it, Pirusha Kuntas, Kosha Lahavin, it's hard to understand that explanation, so then Tosfos prefers their explanation.
Tosfos of Harkins and Rashi.
Yeah.
And the first,
the Mefarish is not written by Rashi. It seems it was written by the Rivan, Rashi's son-in-law. Could be that Tosfos is referring to a Rashi, to an actual Pirush of Rashi on the Masechta, which is lost. Or he could mean maybe the Mefarish that's in front of us, which is it. Okay. The Gemara asks, what do you mean? Babai is Nami. Well, then if you're in a house also, why is it any different? Kivim de oil yod, as soon as he puts his hand into the house, he becomes Tomei. And when the whole rest of his body comes in, Tomehu, then hi Tomehu, then he's already Tomei, because he's already Tomei from the moment he put his hand in there, so he's not doing the Tui Surim B'Vasachas. So you're telling me that you have a case where he's accomplishing the Tui Surim B'Vasachas, but how do you have that? Lo Yavoi would imply that his body, or most of his body, comes in. Lo Yitama means he can't become Tomei. As soon as he puts in any part of his body, his hand, or the Gemara is going to mention soon, his nose, or his toes, or whatever, then he right away becomes Tomei.
Okay, Yavoi.
Because of Lo Yitama.
He's not Tomei until he... Until
No. If he goes into the oil mess. If he's starting to walk into the oil mess. You can't call it Lo Yavoi until most of his body is in.
Oh.
But you can call it Lo Yitama as soon as any part of his body that's going is going in there. And think of it, if a person walks over to a caver, for example, and sticks his hand on top of it, his whole body is going to become tummy. So,
even his hand becomes the oil, okay.
Right. Well, forget about the hand becoming an oil. Let's say it's not a matter of oil, let's say it's a matter of touch. Fine, he reaches over and touches the mess, his whole body.
Touch somebody.
Yeah, whatever, okay. The point is, in other words, the same thing over here. What are you telling me? It's b'vasachas. It's not b'vasachas, because first he becomes tummy, the moment any part of his body enters the oil, and that's lo yitama. Lo yavoi is only going to be when most of his body comes in there, lo yishavirubo.
Lo yitama, I understand if you touch it, but if he just has...
No, he goes into the oil. You have a house where there's a mess inside, and he reaches in through the window, then yeah, with his hand, then yeah, yeah. So still, how are we? How are we saying that that you have Isur Basachas, right? So what we're talking about is, you're right, if he sticks his hand into the oil mess and then walks the rest of them in there, then you're right, then you're right, there would only be the matter of he'd be over on Lo Yitama, he wouldn't be over on Lo Yavo, because it's true, by that point he's already Tomei, Lo Yavo is not really adding anything more. But what we're talking about let's say, for example, he has his hands, he has his hands by the sides of his body. So his hands are stiffly by his side, so he didn't put them in first. Well, then, then in that case, in fact, the tumah and the bia are going to come at the same time. Tosfos points out there's a little bit of a different case when you have a house that has tzaras. Tosfos mentions that point, but okay, that's a different kind of thing. Here we're talking about an oil mess.
So if he has his hand by his
hand,
he walks
hand and he walks in, and on the face of it, tomorrow will be a boring task. But the Gemara asks that still. Still, inevitably, his nose will have come in first. Jews have big noses, so v'nochas le'tumah. And again, as soon as his nose is inside, then tumah comes on him. V'nochas le'tumah, and tumah comes on him. Ella, amar Rava hichbis yodei. So no, Rava says like this: if he puts in his hand first, mishum tumah ikum mishum bialek. Fine, like we said, he's going to become Tomei and he's Oran Lo Yitama, but he's not Oran Lo Yavre because you can't call that beer yet. Hichnis Gufay, but if he puts in his body first, he bends his head outside the house and he schleps his body in first and then he puts his head in, Tumo Bia, Bahadi Adori Pass, and then you're going to have the Tumo and the Bia are going to come at the same time. By the way, Tosfos points out, why doesn't the Gemara just say that he's walking in backwards? And the answer is, Tosfos says, because that's not really considered bia. We find, for example, in the Halachas, we'll get to in the Gemara Shavuos in a couple of years, Pesach Hashem, that walking backwards into the Mishnah, when a person is Tomei, for example, it's called Derech Bia, and therefore he wouldn't necessarily be Chayev until his whole body is inside. So the Gemara asks still, fine, his toes are going in first. The tumah is going to go on his toes, spread to his whole body. And again, only when he finishes getting his body inside is there going to be bia. So you're back to the question, it's not Isur Basachas. And again, then if he's already tumah, then how is the bia creating any greater tumah that we should say that there should be a problem?
Looks like it's in there.
It doesn't matter. Some part of the body that goes in before some other part. What?
Why don't we use the same criteria as when for the Beis HaMikdash?
Because ultimately, when his whole body is inside, he's going to be over on Bia. That's what we're talking about. In other words, fine. Eventually, he's going to be over on Bia. But by that time, he's already become Tomei. By the Beis HaMikdash, Tumah is not relevant. But the other way around, we're talking about when he's Tomei and goes into the Beis HaMikdash. So there we don't need things basachas. Here we're trying to find how we have these two things happen to basachas.
Difference again?
Say what?
Why is it different from the case of the Beis HaMikdash?
The person is Tomei, and we're talking about when is he chayev for entering the Beis HaMikdash. So we can say that if he walks in backwards, then that's not considered you don't have the mitzvah of Lo Yitama. There you just have the mitzvah of once he's Tomei, he's not allowed to enter the Beis HaMikdash. So fine, we can talk about then until he goes in and stays there a certain shear of time, then you can't say he was over on going into the Beis HaMikdash Tomei. Here we're talking about we want to find how he's over on two Yisurim of Asachas. You only have two Yisurim to work with, becoming Tomei and entering an Oil HaMess. If he becomes Tomei as soon as some body part of him goes in, then how does it matter? He's already Tomei. So, uh, So Rapapa says, you're right. You can't find it in a way where he's walking in. Rather, you would have a case where the person entered in a box. We've learned before in the Masech, the Shid Tevo Migdal, are various kinds of large wooden boxes or chests. And then his friend came and broke open the plaster, and thereby, in other words, so now the tumor comes in. The tumor will be a. So now the tumor and the beer come at the same moment. So therefore, and after all, before it was broken open, he was completely tahor. Therefore, now we have a case where the two isurim come to vasnachas, and therefore that he's going to be getting malchus. Obviously, it would have to be that it was broken open with his consent. Otherwise, there's nothing to talk about. Remember, they have to give masra to get malchus. So it would have to be that they warn him. You should be aware. You're right now inside an oil mess. If your friend permission to break open the container or whatever, then you're going to become tummy. And he says, I don't care. And his friend goes and does it anyway. And Achronim talk about on the Rambam that the idea is that even though on the face of it, it's lavsha in be'maisa, but the fact is that there was a maisa going in there in the first place.
He's not tummy when he comes in with it.
When he comes in with a shita tevo migdal, at least on a daraisa level, he's not going to be tummy. We touched on this point earlier in the Masechta, that as a tumma at that point, at most, would be only dirabbanan. We're going to talk about it later on in the Masechta as well. It's called Oihol Zoruk. It's called Oihol Zoruk. It's called an immovable oihol. We did mention over there also, Tosfos a drawn distinction between an oihol that's moving versus one that's not moving right now. So he was brought in and a shita tevo migdal and it was placed on the floor. We can say that is a valid oihol and protects him from the tumah until it's broken open.
So no, the oil from his cover does not let the tumah in.
Right. So that's one way. My Rav Ashi Omer, and my Rav Ashi says, here's another way you could say, going to Ayotru Goisis, you could have, for example, the Nazir went into the room while the person who was in there was a Goisis, which is that he's on his deathbed. Literally the word Goisis means that, literally the word Goisis comes from the word Magus, which means stirring. So you have when a person is on his deathbed shortly before death, like he's coughing up and rattling around phlegm in his throat, and that kind of thing is called goisis. So the Gemara elsewhere talks about roiv goisis in the Misa, that most goisis in eventually die. There is at the beginning of the Masechta we had something in Tosfos, and there's other places where the Gemara draws the distinction maybe between goisis bidei adam versus bidei shamayim, where he's a goisis because of natural causes versus because he was wounded or whatever. Anyway. So he went in when the person was a goisis, the nafik nishmasa ad yosef, and then the person passed away while the nazir is sitting in there. Again, the tumah bia v'adi adodikasyon. So now again, the tumah and the bia came at the same time because the moment this guy died, he was over on lo yitama, and he's also over on lo yovid because he wasn't supposed to be there in the first place.
He was there ready. No,
that's the point. In other words, he went in when the guy was a goisis.
Right.
So he shouldn't have done that. He should have taken into consideration that after all, a goisis is very likely to die soon, and then he is going to become Tommy. So now we can be Machayev and Malchus for that. In fact, the Rosh asks that wouldn't it be Hasra Sofik, because you don't know whether the ghost is going to die. So the Rosh brings up a couple of possibilities. Maybe Ma'ar Rav Ashi holds that doesn't matter. Hasra Sofik can be considered Hasra. You have Machlokes about that in a number of places in Shas, Makas, and in other places. And another point is also, since again, Roiv Goisis in Lemisa, then it amounts to Hasras Vada. You're telling him you can be sure that guy is going to die within a couple of minutes, and therefore don't go in there in the first place. Okay, and again, the point is, in other words, that since the going in to begin with was doing something that was Osir, and that can be considered a Maisa, then eventually he can be getting Malchus, even though at the moment he becomes Tomei, there's no Maisa involved. So there was the original Maisa of going in when he wasn't supposed to. Okay, so those are cases where you have Truma and Bia come at the same time, and those would be the cases where Rabba would say that he gets double Malchus. So one thing Tosfos says we can learn from all of this, basically the same dinim apply to a Kohen and to a Nazir. You see from that, therefore, that even if a Kohen is Tomei, he's not allowed to become Tomei for others. Now, let's say, for example, a Kohen is allowed to become Tomei for his relatives, but based on what we're saying over here, it would mean he's not allowed to go and become Tomei for somebody else. So, in fact, in Shulchan Aruch, it's mentioned that for that, I don't know if this is commonly done now, but it used to be that when they buried Kohenim, they would bury them as close as possible to the edge of the cemetery. That way, when their relatives or other Kohenim come to visit, when they first do the Kavura. They're going to be coming over there and becoming Tomei, which fine is legitimate because if they're seven relatives and the Torah allows them to, but this way they won't at the same time become Tomei with the other Kvarim that are in the area because they're not going to be able to do it.
Yeah, but it's not a gate.
So maybe the difference is that nowadays our Bate Kvarim are built with Kvarim further apart, so maybe it's not as necessary and you have the fences and they have, all kinds of things. Okay. Mar goes on. So now getting back to where we talked about. So we've just been talking about goisis. Let's talk about that a little more. Tanan Abanan lehi chaloi. The pasuk says about a kohen head yet that he's not allowed to become profane, to become desecrated by becoming tamei. So ad shashi yamus. So that means that he only becomes tamei when the person actually dies. But meaning, in other words, let's say, for example, Tosfa said, let's say the person was cut up. So you have various cuts and bruises and body parts that are falling off or whatever. Still, the guy is not Tomei yet. The person who's there is not Tomei yet because this person is still alive. Mind you, by the way, if an Eva is cut off, then it actually is the family. There's actually a story in a Medrash involving a Koyan by the name of Yosef HaKoyan, where one time he had to have an operation done on his leg. Keep in mind, this is, back then, no anesthesia, no nothing. His son is there helping him out. Just before the Yosef tells the doctors, just before you finish cutting it off, please tell me. When it's just still hanging on by a thread, he tells his son, please leave the room. As soon as it's cut off, you're going to become Tomei, and I don't want you to be here and then become Tomei. And the Chachamim praised Yosef that even at a time like that, he had the presence of mind to think of such things. But here we're talking about even if, for example, the person is badly wounded and cut up or whatever, the fact is he's still alive, therefore he's not mitame yet. Rebbe says we can learn that concept in a different way. The pasuk says b'moisam yitma. The pasuk says when they die, he becomes tame, again implying ad shiyomus only when the person is actually dead. Agos Habach says a different pasuk lo yitam lahem b'moisam. Whatever. Anyway, so the Gemara asks, "My benayu." So, what is the practical difference between Rebbe and the Chachamim? So, Amar Rabbi Yechon, Mashmos Dorshin Ika Benayu. Rabbi Yechon says there's actually no practical difference between them. They're just arguing which pasuk you're learning it from. But they both agree that there's no nafkamina as far as the actual deal. Reshlokish Omar Goisis Ikabinai. Reshlokish says, in fact, that the Nakamina between them would be as far as a Goisis. Lamanda Omar Milahichaloi, if you learn from the word Lahichaloi, Afilu Goisis, then you would say that it applies even to a Goisis, because after all, he is going to die soon, and it would be also for a Koyan to touch even, or a Nazir, to touch even a Goisis. Again, since it's really Goisis and Lamissa, since most of them are going to die, then already he'd be Matame. That's the Rosh Lord, that he'd actually be Matame. The Meiri says that no, it's more of a Xera, that he might die. In fact, Rav Moshe has in one of his Chuvas, in the end, the Halacha is going to be like Rav Yechanan in this regard. Therefore, Goisis is not actually Matame. So therefore, for example, a Koyan is allowed to treat a Goisis. Let's say, for example, if Koyan is an EMT or something, then he's allowed to, as once the guy is dead, then not. Then he has to withdraw. But, as long as he's still alive, then he is able to.
Even though he has a
Chazaka. Again, there can be a difference maybe between Goisis Vidya Adam and Goisis Vidya Shemayim. Maybe one of them is more like when we say really Goisis and Lamissa, maybe it only applies to one kind. So Rish Lakish says that Lamanda Omami Lechalo, if you learn from the word Lechalo after the Goisis, then it would mean that the Koyan or the Nazir is not allowed to touch even a Goisis. Lamanda Omami Bemoisam, but if you're learning from the word Bemoisam, when they die, Ad Shiyomus Ein, Goisis Lo, then it would only apply only when they actually die, but not a Goisis. Okay, the Gemara asks Lamanda Omami Lechalo, Hapsid Bemoisam, Nu, and according to the opinion, according to the Chachamim who learned from the Lechalo, what are they doing with the Pasuk Bemoisam? The answer is Mibor Lechidu Rebbe. They would use it to teach us a different thing that Rebbe says. the Tanya Rebbe Omer, Vimoisam Enim Atame. The Pasuk is saying that a Kohen or a Nazir is not allowed to become Tomei with people when they die, implying that only Tumas Mes is also to them, Av Matame, Vinig Osam, or Vizivosam. He is allowed to become Tomei through a Mitzora or through a Zom. So a Kohen or a Nazir is allowed to touch a Zav or a Mitzora, even though he's becoming Tomei, because it's only Tumas Mes that's off limits to them. The Rosh mentions over here that if it's his father, so maybe the Rosh is learning that dispensation would only be for his relatives. But whatever, the point is, in other words, a Kohen Gadol or a Nazir is not allowed to become Tomei Mes, even for his relatives, but if there is Zav or a Mitzora, he would be able to. So we learn that from the word Vamosa. And according to Rebbe, who learns from B'moisam, then he needs it for that Svara. So how can he himself is saying the din, so how can he use the word B'moisam to teach us that there's no problem with a Koyan or a Mitzvah or a Nazir touching a Gosis? The answer is, Rebbe would say, if that's the case, if we only needed to learn that din, then the Pasuk could have said B'mois, in death. My B'mois Sum, why instead does it say B'mois Sum, Sham Minotarity, therefore you could learn both din from it. Both that there's no problem touching a Gosis, and also that that there's no problem touching a Zav or a Mitzvah. Okay, so the Gemara asks Lamando.
Major difference.
But fine, but the point is, we're learning them both from the same pasuk. Okay, well, Lamando Amar B'moisam Oksiv Lahichaloi. Fine, what is Rebbe doing with the word Lahichaloi, which the Tanakhama had learned from that about Ad Shah Shigyomus, only when the guy dies? The answer is, Lahichaloi Lahochi Udaasa. The answer is, Rebbe is going to say the word Lahichaloi comes to teach us the following. This whole din that a Kohen is not allowed to become Tomei would only apply when he's not already only when they're not already desecrated. As opposed to if he became Tomei already, now if he touches a mess again, then we're not adding any more Tumah, and therefore he's not getting more Malchus according to the various possibilities that we mentioned before as far as Chiburim and so on and so forth. Okay. So the Gemara asks, fine, so doesn't the Tanakhama need to learn that Svara from the word Lahichaloi? So how can he learn from it that only when the person dies? The answer is, in Kain Lemakro Lahochel. Again, he would say, similar to what Rebbe says about Memois and Memois son, it could have said Lahochel. My Lahichaloi Shang Natauti. Again, we can learn both things from it because of the extra vowel. Okay, well, the Gemara says, Mesvi. Though I have a contradiction to Resh Lakish. Resh Lakish, you're telling me that there might be an issur according to the Tanakhama of the Braisa on a Nazir or a Koyan touching a Gosis, but we learn in a Mishnah, Odim Ein Matame El Achetetz Nafshe. A person is Matame only when his soul leaves him. Bafilu Meguyad, even if he's cut off, even if he's cut up, and again, you know, those limbs partially cut off all over the place, he's certain to die soon, but still, Bafilu Gosis, and even if he's a Gosis, So he's not matami. So ulamando amala hechaloi. So the question would be, according to the opinion that you say that you learn the lehechaloi hakatani being a matami, then you're saying he's not matami. So according to Resh Lakish, why would the Tanakhama have any problem with a koyin or a nazir touching such a person? The answer is, the Gemara answers, le'inin tamuye ad nafka nafshe. Sure, as far as actually becoming tamei, he's only going to become tamei when the person's soul leaves him. But as far as that the goisis is called a cholo, and we can say lahechalo, I mean, don't touch this person because he's a cholo, that can be ha'ischil. At that point, he is already considered a cholo because of his wounds and everything, and because of really goisis in the Misa, and therefore, if the Tanakhama is learning from Lahechaloi, that he's not allowed to, then that would mean, even though he's not actually in the Tanakh yet, nevertheless, there's a special issue already on a Koyan or a Nazir not to touch such a person.
Because
the pasuk says lahechaloi, and the person who was wounded and beat up or whatever is already called a cholo. He's already called in a certain sense a dead body because Rav goes to the Messiah. In fact, Tosfos says that the Gemara could have answered that maybe this Braisa is only according to Rebbe. That this Mishnah, rather, is only according to Rebbe. Anyway, Tosfos points out, what's the bottom line halacha? Well, when we have a machlokas, Rabbi Yochanan and Rish Lakish, then the halacha is like Rabbi Yochanan. Therefore, the result will be that a kohen is allowed to touch and goses. On the other hand, Tosfos brings from halachas gedolos that instead of that here we have the way we had it in the Gemara over here was Rabbi Yochanan and Rish Lakish arguing the halachas gedolos from one of the early Gaonim has instead Abaya and Rav. Where Abaya taking Rabbi Yochanan's place and Rava taking Rish Lakish's place. Well, the halacha is like Rava against Abaya. So that would mean, in other words, so then, since according to Rava, that we would say there is in fact a machlokas, and we know the halacha is like Rebbe, is not like Rebbe because here he's arguing against the Rabbin, the result would be the halacha would be like the Rabbin, and if according to Rish Lakish, which according to the halacha's Golas, is really Rava, saying that from the Hichale, you learn that a Kohen cannot touch a Gosis, then the result would be that a Kohen can't touch a Gosis either. So again, that shuva from the Moshe talks about this, that yes, of course we should try to be machmir when possible, but we do have what to rely on as far as a kohen treating a goses, if we use the gears in front of us over here, that's Rabbi Yochanan saying that, and the halacha would be like.
That's right now probably something to give because everyone's told me anyhow.
Well, again, even when a Kohen is Tomei, he's still not allowed to become more Tomei. So, yes, there's still is that. Okay. New discussion. We're talking about, again, that all this time we've been talking about that a Kohen is allowed to become Tomei for his relatives, a regular Kohen, that is, not a Kohen Gadol, and also not a Nazir. So now we're kind of digressing from the topic of Nazir to talk about becoming Tomei Mess in general, to talk about this concept of when a Kohen is able to become Tomei Mess. So, Amar Rav Chista Amar Rav. Nikta roshe shel aviv. If Kohen Hedyot's father's head or any of his other relatives was chopped off, the Kohen is not able to become tomei for the body. Even though the Mefarish talks about, he says even if the head is right there next to the body, but because it was chopped off, therefore he can't become tomei. My time omakro lo aviv, because the pasuk says for his father. Meaning, bizman shu shalom, below bizman shu chaser, only when he's whole, not when he's lacking something. So now that he's lacking something, then therefore he can't become Tomei over there.
He's still shaking,
Yes. Now further on, the Gemara is going to point out actually that this applies not only if a whole limb like the head is missing, but even if only a smaller part is missing. So that Advaz actually asks, why does Rav, then in that case, why is Rav Chista in the name of Rav, why is he telling us a case where the head was chopped off? Why doesn't he, just say if anything is missing? So he gives four different answers, and the first one is similar to that. The head has such a chashivus, it's such an important organ. Maybe the kohen should be able to become tomei for that when they're one next to the other. And then he gives a couple of other explanations that only when the head is completely chopped off can he not be matame, but if it was still partially attached, then he would be able to. Then a third thing that Advaz says is that since, of course, a person's head is chopped off, he dies. So Rav Chista preferred to say that in that way, where his head was chopped off, as opposed to with other parts of the body, you would have to specify that it was chopped off and then he died. And then we don't want to do that. Arichus. And again, you could be talking about that the father was killed by having his head chopped off, so therefore then he's not able to become Tomei. But let's say, for example, this that we're saying, this man shu shalim only applies when he's whole, meaning in other words, it doesn't have to be that he died whole. Consider, for example, that example of Yosef HaKohen with his leg being chopped off before. The son is not allowed to become Tomei for the leg. But eventually, when sometime later Yosef HaKohen passes away, his son will be able to become Tomei for him. He's missing a leg. This true shalom, like true chaser, means he has to have all the body parts that he had when he died still have to be together. So that would be that Advaz says that's the fourth way of understanding what Rav Chista is mentioning by the head over here, meaning, in other words, only because he was killed by beheading, only then can the son not become Tomei for him. But if, let's say, he was a, let's say, so, and with the head, there's no other way to do it, because you can't have his head is chopped off and he's still alive, as opposed to with other body parts, you could conceivably have that. Okay. So, Amale Rav Hamnuna. So Rav Hamnuna asks Rav Chista, by that logic, you're telling me then that the Kohen can become Tomei for his father or other relatives only when the body is whole. What about Ka'ozo B'Paksa? Suppose that the father was traveling in Paksa Darovis. Paksa means a valley. Arovis was the name of the place. The word Arovis can mean that there were Arova trees growing over there. It can also mean Arovis sometimes means like wilderness, like Arvis Mayov. Well, it's mentioned in a few places in Shas. It was a desolate area. There was next to no water over there. The Gemara tells in Brachas, for example, how one of the Chachamim was once traveling through there and ran out of water, and a nest happened, and a spring was created right there on the spot for him. Anyway, whatever. It's a very desolate, wild area, and it's the kind of place where bandits and robbers and highwaymen hang out. So suppose father was traveling through there, Upaskur Gandhi Larenche, and Ganovim over there chopped off the father's head. Are you going to tell me the son is not going to be able to become Tomei for burying his father? Isn't he a mess mitzvah? Yeah. So Rav Chista says, mess mitzvah kam, if you're talking about a mess mitzvah, it's a special case. Hashti yeshlem b'achruini b'chayev, after all, we can say the koyin is chayev to bury even a different mess mitzvah, but over by kolshkan, how much more so his father. So in other words, there's two things. A koyin is allowed to become tamei for his relatives, actually machlokas, whether he's allowed to or whether he has to. That same Yosef HaKoyin, by the way, it says that, the Gemara in Zvachin, that says that his wife passed away on Erev Pesach, and he didn't want to be involved with the burial because then he'd be tamei and he wouldn't be able to bring the Korban Pesach. And the Chachamim forced him to become tamei because it's a mitzvah for him. For a wife, right. So the Tosfos discusses over here that the wife maybe is considered more mess mitzvah than the other relatives. We learned in Yevamos, for example, you have a case particularly when a Kohen is married to a young girl, even though on Daraisa level they're not considered married, but Midrabbanan, we say, that's still because Kedushin with Tana aren't anything unless her father was Makadisher. But nevertheless, though, we can still consider her to be a mess mitzvah in the sense that her relatives are not necessarily going to be involved in wanting to bury her because they're going to say, look, we're not Yarshining her anyway. So in that case, that might be a special case. But as far as the other relatives, Macholikas, whether it's a requirement or whether it's just that it's optional. In any case, the point is, so you have that separately, you have mes mitzvah. So now, Rav Chista is saying, yeah, mes mitzvah, of course, there's no difference between a father and any other relative, and there's no difference, shalom or chosu. Either way, there's a mitzvah to bury an individual body part of a yid as well. But as far as the special dispensation that the Torah gives, and that concept of mes mitzvah applies even to a nazir, even to a kohen gadol, we're going to learn about that in the next parak. But as far as the relatives, which is only a Kohen head, yet not a Kohen Gadol, not a Nazir, that's only, as we're saying, only if they're whole. So the Gemara asks, "V'hai nes mitzvah?" So you're telling me that if the father was killed in Paksa Darovos, that he would be considered a mes mitzvah? But Hatanya, we learn in a Braisa, "Ezehu mes mitzvah." What is the definition of a mes mitzvah? Kol she'ein le'koyrin. When there's nobody to bury him. But if he calls out and other people would answer him, there's two ways of understanding that. One is it means if the mess himself were still alive and he were able to call out and other people would come and help him. In other words, there are other people in the area, then that's not considered a mess mitzvah. The other way of understanding it is that it means that if you who found the mess mitzvah are calling out for people and there's somebody else who can answer, then he's not considered a mess mitzvah.
They have to be willing to,
but whatever. The point is, in other words, but in this case, Now, in this case, this guy was killed in Taxadar always. The son is there with him, the pastors we're talking about. And therefore, how can the father be considered a mes mitzvah? The son is able to hire people to take care of the father's body.
We say
it's desolate, but nevertheless, apparently there are not. The Gemara is assuming that there are other people in the area. Maybe, I mean, it may be desolate, and there may be ganovim or whatever, but still, there are people who pass through that area. So how can he be considered a mes mitzvah? And the answer is, the Gemara says that's exactly that. Because they're traveling, because they're traveling on the road, and the father is lying over there in the middle of the road. Kamisha in like Kobrim Gummy, it's the equivalent of there's nobody else available to, there's nobody else available to help bury him, right? Tosfos mentions over here this point about again that a Kohen whose wife is a Ketana that he can be metame for her, because Tosca said that would be a rare example where the Chachamim are able to tell you to be over on a kumase, even though daraisa, she wouldn't be considered a mes mitzvah. Derabbanan, we consider her a mes mitzvah because her relatives are not going to want to bother burying her because they're going to say, we're getting nothing out of her anyway, or we're not yarshining her. Her husband is yarshining her. Therefore, in that case, the Chachamim consider her like a mes mitzvah. Where Tosfos uses the expression, where there's ponim v'tam v'dover, where there's a good reason for it, then yes, the Chachamim have the ability to be oiker something in the Torah and tell you a kumbase. Tell the Kohen, in this case, go be matame for your young wife, because we're going to consider her a mes mitzvah. The Rambam b'chol holds that in general, the whole concept that even when the wife is an adult, the whole concept that the Kohen is matame for his wife, the Rambam learns the matter of mes mitzvah. Because in the pasuk it only mentions six relatives, then it says the word she'eroi, the chum darshan, the word she'eroi means a wife. But the Rambam learns differently. He says, no, there you have six relatives, plus you have the wife, which is considered a mes mitzvah.
But
she'eroi literally means his flesh. Yeah, so, okay, the husband and wife become one flesh. But, but the Rambam learns we don't have to darshan from she'eroi. In effect, the Chachamim are using that as an asmachta for the idea that they're saying that she's that the wife is always considered a mes mitzvah.
Because
once she's married, then nobody else is gonna be again.
Say the family would get involved, but if they didn't have money, it wouldn't.
Yeah. Okay. An interesting point, by the way. Speaking of not having money, one of the Mefarshim points out over here an interesting point why the Gemara is mentioning Paksa. The Birkas Roish talks about this. The Gemara is mentioning Paksa Darovis. One point is because of these bandits, we can assume not only did they kill him, they may have taken all his money, so there may not be any money to hire anybody else to bury the father. Yeah. Okay. So the Gemara goes on. So the Gemara goes on, Maisvi, fine, the Gemara says, I have a contradiction now. So you're telling me that, Rav Huna, in the name of Rab, you're telling me that a Kohen is not allowed to become Tomei for his father when he's missing a head or some other limb. We learn in a Braisa, Loth Yitama, the Pasuk says that a Kohen can become Tomei for his sister, for his unmarried sister, and what does it have to say, Loth? It could have just said, Rav Lachoisa Yitama, what does the word Loth add? It means Loth Umitame. It means he can become Tomei only when her body is whole. The Ein Matame Le'evareha, he cannot become Tomei for her limbs. Because we see from that even a father who's closer than a sister, you still can't become Tomei, a Kohen can't become Tomei for an Avram and a Chai of his father. Again, you know, that story of Yosef HaKohen, where just before the leg is going to be cut off, he tells his son to leave the room. But on the other hand, the Braisa says, the son can go back for a piece of bone the size of a grain of barley, meaning, in other words, that if the son buried his father, and then he discovers that, so he became Tomei for the rest of the body. Then he discovers that some part is missing. Then he can go back and bury that part. So you see, in other words, that does he see that he can become Tomei even if parts are missing. So what are you telling me that? And the Gemara says, "My Masuel Etzim Kesaroda." So what does that mean? He can go back for a piece of bone the size of a grain of barley, which is in general the minimum amount that's considered an aver in halacha, lav the memra di mechsepurta. Doesn't that mean that if the father's body is missing something, so he's missing a finger, let's say, or whatever, he was still able to become tame for him? Now, of course, the question is, I mean, he thought that the body was whole, but still, what would allow us for him to go back and deal with that one finger once he realizes that it's missing? Then, okay, the body's already buried, he became Tomei, but what gives him the right to go back for that? Except for the fact, apparently, that he is able to become Tomei for individual limbs. So what would be the difference then, whether he knew at the time that something was missing, like in Rav Chista's case, where he sees the head is lying next to the body, versus in our case where he didn't know?
I just wouldn't talk about this many specs, no one's around.
No, again, we're talking about the regular case of a father. The fact that a Kohen is able to bury his father or other relatives, we're saying if he discovers afterwards that there was some part missing, then he can go back and then do it again.
Yeah, tell me again.
Yeah. Oh. And the one answer is Lloyd. No, you don't necessarily have to say that. Hahi Rav Yehuda. You could say that Braisa that we just quoted is only a coincidence of Yehuda. And Rabbi Yehuda holds that, in fact, this that Rav Chista was saying before, that you can only be that the Kohen can be the Tame only when the body is whole, that would only be a point to the Chachamim. Rabbi Yehuda would disagree. Rabbi Yehuda the Tana would disagree. The Tanya, Rav Yehuda, and the law mitame. Rav Yehuda learns from the word law. He learns that it means that the kohen can become tamei for his sister. The ein mitame la ivareha. He cannot become tamei for individual limbs of her. She ein mitame al ev minachai shel aviv. So again, Rav Yehuda says it means he can't become tamei for an aver minachai of his father. He would agree in the case of Yosef HaKohen that the son has to leave the room, but al mitame hu la ev minames shel aviv. However, he learns differently. The Tanakam, the previous Braisa, we said that he can't become Tomei for an Avim and Achai of his father, but he can go back for Etzim Kisaira. Now, Rabbi Huda is saying, in the same vein, he's saying that he can become Tomei for an Avim and Amnes of his father. So yes, if his father was missing a limb and he buried him, then yes, he is able to go back and get that missing limb. So therefore, according to Rabbi Huda, about the same thing, the Kohen found his father's head and body separated. He would be allowed to bury the body and then go and bury the head. So fine, Rabbi Yehuda is going to hold that way. The Chachamim disagree, and Rabbi Chista is talking according to the Chachamim.
So Rabbi Chista will hold, you can't do that.
So Rabbi Chista would hold, the Kohen can't do that unless it's a mess mitzvah, unless like we have the case in Pax the Darabas. Okay, so the Gemara asks, V'hotani, really, Rabbi Kahana, Rabbi Lezman Yaakov, didn't Rabbi Kahana teach a Braisa from the base medrash of Rabbi Lezman Yaakov? Another meaning of law means loch mitame ve'en mitame le'evorim. Again, it means the koyim can become tomei for his sister, but not for evorim. And that means, the braisa spells out, prap kezayis min amnes. That means, as opposed to the koyim is not able to become tomei for a kezayis from the body, which is the minimum amount that's mitame, the kezayis netzel, or to become tomei for a kezayis of netzel. We're going to learn about netzel in the next paragraph. It's when liquid comes out of the body after death and congeals. It's not a very appetizing situation, but we're going to learn about it in the next paragraph as far as how much of it is metami. And we'll like tavad rakov, or a ladle full of dust from the body, where the body eventually decays and becomes dust. A certain size of ladle of that is metami a person. Again, we're going to talk about that in more detail in the next paragraph. So all of those things, then, the Braisa is saying, Rabbi Lezman Yaakov is saying that the Kohen is not allowed to become Tomei for them, but the Braisa continues, Yocholo Yitam al-Shedra v'l-Gugolos, you would think then that the Kohen is not allowed to become Tomei for an entire spinal cord, v'l-Gugolos, or for an entire skull, ul-Rov Binyana ul-Rov Binyana, or to become Tomei for a majority of the Binyan, of the structure of the body, which is, for example, two long leg bones and three of the long leg bones, for example. That's considered to be the majority of the height of the body, because if you put them end to end, then it makes the majority of the height. You have, for example, two thighs and one leg bone, or two leg bones and one thigh. Olaroiv minyana, or the majority of the bones in the body, the person has 248 evarim, so the majority is 125. So you would think Rabbi Lezman Yaakov is saying that the koyin cannot become tomei for those. No, ksiv amaut alehem. No, but since the pasuk says you should say to them, emor al koyin bnei Aaron, v'amaut alehem. The words v'amaut means hoisef achar kasev tuma acheres, means the Torah is adding to you another tuma that the koyin is able to become tomei. So yes, he can become tomei for roiv minyan and roiv binyan and things like that, where you have the majority of the frame of the body. But continues the Braisa, Yochol lo yitam l'shedru l'gogolos l'rei binyanu l'rei binyanu shalachayim. Now you would think then that he cannot become tamei for these kinds of things from other kinds of relatives. Maybe it's only a sister. Amarta, so you say no, ma achosim yichedes, because after all, the word loch is only by a sister. But we're going to make a binyan out. Amrit, ma achosim yichedes, what's special about a sister? Should gufa toler boy, that her guf is dependent on him, meaning that she's his relative, that he's her relative, and he's responsible for burying her. Or different girsa is, should go, the mafarish has a girsa, should gufa toliba. These are things that her body depends on those. Her body is not going to exist. She can't live without these kinds of things, without roed binyana and roed binyana and whatever. Umitana, the shedwil of gorillas, or roed binyana, or roed binyana, at kol, should gufa toliba. So the same thing is going to apply to any other relative who depends on him for burial, or who depends on these body parts to live. Umitana, the shedwil of gorillas, or roed binyana, or roed binyana. So you see from this braisa, and this braisa is not according to Rabbi Yehuda, this is according to Rabbi Elazar ben Yaakov, that a kohen is able to become tamei for body parts of his sister. So the same thing his father. So what are you telling me, Rav Chisda, that if the head was chopped off, they can't? So the answer is, Hinami Rabbi Yehuda. Okay, you should know something. That braisa is also according to Rabbi Yehuda. Yes, Rabbi Elazar ben Yaakov taught the braisa, but he agrees in this din with, on this din with Rabbi Yehuda. Is there maybe a slight difference between them? Whatever the point is, relevant to our sugya, there's no difference between them. For Rav Da'omak, Kihai Tana, rather when Rav said his din about the Kohen's head being chopped off, he's going like the following Tana. The Tanya, Maisa Shemes Ovim Shereb Yitzchak Ginzek. It happened that Reb Yitzchak's father passed away in Ginzek, which is a place in Modai, which nowadays is in Iran. A different Girsa on the side over here, it says Reb Tzadik HaKohen. Anyway, whatever the case, Reb Yitzchak or Reb Tzadik was a Kohen. They came and informed him 3 years later that his father had passed away. He went and asked Rabbi Yeshua ben Elisha and four other Chachamim with him, can he go there to help bury his father? Now, his father, of course, has long since been buried temporarily. But in other words, is he allowed to now go and is he now allowed? What they often used to do was they would bury a body temporarily, and then later on they would rebury it in the permanent place. So is he allowed to do that? To bring him to Kivrei Ovis. It's not so simple, by the way, this matter of moving bodies from one place to another. There are complicated halachas about it. But nevertheless, the din is sometimes you're allowed to. For example, you're allowed to do it to transport, to take a person from who was buried in Chutz La'aretz to bring them to Eretz Yisrael. You're allowed to, of course, Yeah, fine, but still, there are places in Eretz Yisrael that are Batei Kvaris. So it's a legitimate thing. You also have, of course, there are cases where the Beis HaKvaris is going to be desecrated, as you have in many places in Eastern Europe. So you have certain dinim, and one of them is to bring them to Kivrei Ovis. Anyway, so he went and asked Rabbi Yeshua ben Shiva, Amri lo Abi Bizman Shu Shalom Bizman Shu Chaser, and they told him this din that you can become tamei for your father is only when the body is whole, not when it's missing something. Here, after three years, it's obviously not intact anymore, therefore, no, you don't have the head. So Rav is following that and saying, by the same token, then, that if the head, that the body was missing the head to begin with, in other words, like we said, that the father was killed by having his head chopped off, then yes, the son cannot become tamei for him either.
Even though he's right there.
Even though he's right. So if he's a mess mitzvah, that's different. If it was a case in Paksa Darovis, then that's different, but otherwise not. And the halacha is in fact like that. So the Kohen can become tamei for his relative only the Zman Shu Shalim, but again, just stress, it doesn't mean that if they lost a limb in life, then he can't be tamei for them. It means if after they passed away, a limb was removed, or in this case over here, where the head was chopped off and they were killed that way, then yes, he's not able to become tamei for them. He would have to have other people do it, unless, again, he's a mess mitzvah, and then a mess mitzvah, even a Kohen Gadol, even a Nazir can do it.
If a father's of a Kohen passed away, he's gladly...
He's ordinarily allowed to
go to the people there, but if
the head is missing or whatever, then he can't, only if the father is a mess mitzvah.
But he would be allowed to bury the first, the main part.
No, that's what we're saying. He can't become tamei at all, unless it's a mess mitzvah, yeah. That's what we're saying.
Does that apply to amputations?
No, so that's what we're saying. If the father had something amputated in life, then the son can't become tamei for the amputated part. That was the story of Yosef HaKohen before, but the son can now become tamei for his father when eventually he passes away, because the limb was removed while he was alive. There were no limbs removed after he passed away. What we're talking about is if limbs were removed after the father passed away.
Then the Kohen can become tamei.
Yes, yeah. And by the way, in order to tie this in from Yonah Diyom of Hilchos Purim, the halacha is, in general, we say most mitzvahs do not override Mikra Megillah. Mikra Megillah is more important than almost any other mitzvah, even if it says the Koyanim in the Bais HaMikdash interrupt their avodah to go hear Mikra Megillah. The one exception is a mess mitzvah. If on Purim you come by a mess mitzvah, then you bury it first, and then if there's time, then you go hear Megillah reading.
How can that be? I mean, the Megillah is Midrabanan. How can you say it is? Supersedes any other mitzvah.
Even though it's only Derabbanan, nevertheless, the Chachamim made it strong enough to override most other mitzvahs, with the exception of Mes Mitzvah.
It's only Megillah that's going to be in...
It's only Megillah that's going to be lost in Lava, yeah.
So are you saying, actually, that, let's say, the reading of the Megillah is more important than putting on tefillin or davening?
I mean, usually we have, of course, if you can accomplish them both, then you do them both, right? what we're talking about over here, this idea that for example, let's say again, Kohenim interrupt their Avodah, or for example, a person interrupts his Talmud Torah in order to hear Megillah. Yeah, obviously, if you're talking about what, there's not enough time in the day left, and then I don't know, actually, what does one have to do with the other? Put on the tefillin and read the Megillah at the same time, for example, yeah.
Are you yotzev reading the Megillah to yourself?
Sure, as long as you read it from a kosher Megillah.